draw, let her back. Same where my family fear.
Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Base by Base is now on YouTube too, at Base by Base, where every episode gets a video with chapters and the full description. Come subscribe.
Yeah, really excited to be here for this one.
So, imagine for a second that you get the results back from a routine DNA blood test. Your doctor sits you down, looks you in the eye, and tells you the test found a mutation for a devastating early onset cancer syndrome.
Oh man, that's just heart-stopping news.
Completely, it's the kind of news that stops your heart completely. But here is the catch, you are entirely healthy.
Right.
You are in middle age and you have absolutely no family history of this disease whatsoever.
Which is confusing.
Exactly. So what really happens when the DNA in your blood tells a terrifying story, but it turns out to be a massive case of biological mistaken identity?
It's a huge question.
How could unraveling this mystery change how we predict cancer risk for millions of people?
Well, it totally rewrites the playbook.
It really does. Today we celebrate the work of Hamish McGregor, Jamie Blundell, and Douglas Easton from the University of Cambridge, who have advanced our understanding of how we distinguish inherited from acquired cancer risks in the TP53 gene.
Yeah, and to really appreciate the scale of the detective work here, we have to look closely at the biological culprit itself, right? Which is the TP53 gene.
The famous one.
Right, arguably the most famous tumor suppressor gene we have.
Yeah.
I mean, it is constantly referred to as the guardian of the genome.
And for very good reason, right.
Exactly. Its entire job is to monitor a cell for DNA damage. When a cell gets stressed or its DNA gets scrambled, the P53 protein acts like an emergency brake.
Right.
It binds to the DNA and just halts the cell division process so repairs can be made.
And if the damage is too severe to fix, it triggers apoptosis. It basically forces the rogue cell to hit a self-destruct button so it can't become cancerous.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
But the real problem arises when someone inherits a broken copy of that gene from their parents.
Right, so the mutation is in their germline.
Yes, present in every single cell of their body from the very moment of conception. And that inherited broken brake pedal causes a very severe condition called Li-Framinae syndrome.
Or LFS.
Right, LFS. Because every cell in the body is lacking optimal protection, LFS is characterized by a terrifyingly high risk of early onset cancers.
Like incredibly early.
Yeah, we're talking about aggressive bone sarcomas, soft tissue sarcomas, and breast cancers. And these often strike patients in childhood or young adulthood.
Wow.
The lifetime cancer risk for someone with classic LFS is estimated to be over 70% for men and near 100% for women.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because we are now running into a massive clinical paradox, which is the whole reason we are doing this deep dive.
Right.
Over the last few years, population scale genetic testing has just exploded. We are sequencing the DNA of hundreds of thousands of people for general health screening.
And finding things we didn't expect.
Exactly. The screens are flying these classic, highly dangerous TP53 mutations in the blood of healthy, middle-aged adults who have absolutely zero symptoms of LFS.
Which, I mean, biology tells us that shouldn't be happening.
Not at all.
If a person truly had a germline Li-Framinae mutation in every single cell, statistical probability dictates they almost certainly would have developed multiple severe cancers by their 40s or 50s.
So they shouldn't be totally healthy at 50.
No, they shouldn't. So to understand what is actually going on in their blood, we have to zoom in on the bone marrow.
Okay.
Specifically, this phenomenon known as clonal hematopoiesis.
Right, the CH.
Yeah, CH. Throughout our lives, the stem cells in our bone marrow are constantly dividing, right? They're producing billions of new blood cells every single day.
That's a lot of copying.
It is. Wow. And every time a stem cell divides, it has to copy its DNA. And occasionally it makes a random mistake. It acquires a non-inherited somatic mutation.
So a somatic mutation is just a localized typo that happened during your lifetime. It is not inherited from your parents.
Exactly.
It's not going to be passed to your kids, and it's not in your heart or liver. It is just localized in that one specific lineage of blood cells inside your marrow.
Right. And you have to understand, the bone marrow is an incredibly competitive environment.
Like a battleground.
Yeah. Stem cells are constantly fighting for space and resources.
Yeah.
If a random somatic mutation happens to hit the TP53 gene in one of those stem cells, that cell suddenly loses its emergency brakes.
Oh, wow.
It stops listening to the normal biological signals that tell it to stop growing or to self-destruct.
So that single mutant cell gains a massive competitive advantage over all the healthy stem cells around it.
Exactly. It starts to multiply relentlessly. It creates a massive clone army of identical TP53 mutant blood cells. That creeping takeover of the blood system is clonal hematopoiesis.
Wait, so you're saying just the normal process of getting older can physically change the DNA in my blood cells enough to perfectly mimic a terrifying inherited genetic syndrome?
Yes. And the clinical screening tools often can't tell the difference at all.
Why not?
Well, when a doctor draws a vial of your blood for a genetic screening test, the lab machinery just bursts all those millions of cells open.
It just mashes them all together.
Right. It mixes all the genetic material into a soup and looks at the DNA fragments.
Yeah.
So it is incredibly difficult for that standard test to tell if the TP53 mutation it just detected is germline.
Meaning it's as in every tissue of your body and you actually have systemic Lyfromeny syndrome.
Right. Or if it is somatic, meaning it's just localized in a highly expanded clone army floating in your aging blood.
So the distinction isn't just academic. It's in the difference between telling you that your whole family is at risk for a systemic cancer syndrome versus telling you that your blood is just showing signs of aging.
Completely. I mean, It completely alters the trajectory of a patient's life.
Because the clinical stakes are so incredibly high.
Yeah, exactly. So the research team from Cambridge recognized that the field needed a massive data set and an entirely new analytical tool set to untangle these inherited and acquired mutations.
So if a standard blood test just mashes all the cells together and gets confused, how on earth do you prove a mutation was actually inherited when all you have is a single blood sample from a patient?
Well, the researchers turned to the UK Biobank, which is just an incredible resource.
Huge data set.
Yeah, it provided whole exome sequencing from the blood of nearly 470,000 participants.
And these are all people between the ages of 40 and 70, right?
Yes, exactly. Now, historically, geneticists tried to solve this problem by relying on something called the variant allele fraction, or VAF.
Which is basically just the percentage of the DNA in the blood sample that carries the mutation.
Right, because human beings inherit two copies of every gene, one from our mother, one from our father. A true germline mutation should be present in exactly one of those copies in every single cell of the blood draw.
Okay, that makes sense.
Therefore, a clinician would expect the VAF to sit comfortably around 50%.
Because it's in exactly half the DNA.
Exactly. On the other hand, if a mutation is somatic and was just acquired by a single rogue stem cell recently, it should only be present in a small fraction of your blood cells.
Right.
Theoretically, the VAF for a somatic mutation should be much lower, maybe like 5% or 10%.
But if they are high VAF, why can't we just assume they're germline? Why go to the trouble of building a new analytical tool set if the percentages clearly show it's in half the DNA?
Because that assumption is a massive trap.
Really?
Yeah, we just established that a TP53 mutation gives a blood stem cell a ruthless competitive advantage. These somatic blood clones don't just stay small.
Oh, right, because they're multiplying relentlessly.
Exactly. They can expand so aggressively that they physically take over the bone marrow.
Wow.
If a somatic clone army grows large enough to represent a huge portion of your blood, its VAF in a standard blood draw can easily climb to 30%, 40%, or even higher.
So it completely masquerades as a high VAF germline mutation?
It does. It effectively tricks the test and the clinician into a false Lyfromeny diagnosis.
Which is terrifying. I mean, the researchers couldn't just trust the percentage of the mutation. They needed a way to mathematically prove inheritance.
Right. And to do this, they combine the VAF data with a technique called haplotype sharing analysis.
And they use an algorithm called Germline 2 for this, right?
Yes, they use Germline 2. And the elegance of this solution is striking. Rather than just looking at the single TP53 mutation itself, the algorithm zooms out.
Okay, so looking at the bigger picture.
Yeah. It examines the long stretches of surrounding DNA flanking the mutation on either side.
Uh-huh.
If two completely unrelated people in the UK Biobank have the exact same rare TP53 mutation, and it truly is an inherited germline mutation, then they must have both inherited it from a distant, shared common ancestor who lived generations ago.
It's like finding a rare typo in a printed book.
Oh, that's a great way to think about it.
Right. If you just look at one copy, you don't know if a modern printer made a smudge today or if it was in the original manuscript.
Right.
But if you compare it to thousands of other books and find the exact same paragraph of surrounding text with that typo, You know for sure it was inherited from a master copy.
Exactly. That's a perfect analogy.
But how big of a paragraph did they need to match to be sure it wasn't just a coincidence?
Well, the algorithm searched for matching surrounding segments of at least 1.5 centimorgans.
Centimorgans?
Yeah, centimorgans are a measure of genetic distance based on how often DNA recombines, you know, or gets shuffled when our bodies make sperm and egg cells.
Right.
Over generations, these shared segments of DNA get chopped up and become smaller and smaller. So finding an identical, unbroken segment of 1.5 centimorgans surrounding a mutation is substantial.
Wow.
Geneticists call this identity by descent. The researchers calculated that the mathematical probability of two unrelated people matching a segment of that length purely by random coincidence is exceptionally low.
So proving that shared ancestry allowed them to definitively declare a mutation as a true germline variant.
Exactly.
And by applying this master copy test to the UK Biobank, the researchers successfully classified a massive 87% of the pathogenic TP53 variants. The results completely flipped our understanding of these mutations in the general population.
I mean, the breakdown of the data really forces a total reevaluation.
Let's hear the stats.
So the team identified 315 individuals carrying pathogenic or likely pathogenic TP53 variants. When they ran their dual method analysis, looking at both the allele fraction and the surrounding haplotype, they found that a massive 70% of these were low VAF somatic mutations.
70%?
Yeah. They were entirely acquired through the aging process of the blood system.
That is wild.
And only 17% showed the shared genetic ancestry, proving they were likely true inherited germline variants.
Wait, what happened to the rest of the mutations?
Well, the remaining 13% fell into an inconclusive category.
Inconclusive.
Yeah, these were high VAF variants, so they looked exactly like an inherited germline mutation based purely on their high percentage in the blood. But they completely lacked the shared surrounding DNA to prove inherited ancestry. And we really need to hold on to that specific 13% group because their clinical outcomes are wildly important later on.
Got it.
Also, the data revealed a very strong correlation between having the low VAF somatic mutations and being older, as well as being a current smoker.
Which makes perfect biological sense. I mean, smoking introduces massive amounts of chemical stress and damage to the body.
Definitely.
You are actively damaging the DNA in your stem cells, which creates a high-pressure environment where a cell that loses its TP53 emergency brakes has an even greater survival advantage over the dying healthy cells.
Right, it's just basic evolution happening inside the marrow.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. The study didn't just look at the raw numbers of inherited versus acquired mutations. It looked closely at the specific chemical nature of the mutations themselves.
Yes. For decades, the medical community has carefully cataloged the specific amino acid changes that cause the most devastating classic forms of Li-Fraumeni syndrome.
The famous ones.
Right, variants known as PR273HIS or PR175HIS. And these mutations typically destroy the P53 protein's ability to bind to DNA entirely.
Total destruction of the brake pedal.
Exactly. But when the researchers isolated this healthy UK Biobank cohort, those specific, highly aggressive classic mutations were almost entirely found in the somatically acquired group.
Wait, I want to make sure I'm getting this right. The classic mutations that literally define the inherited syndrome in all the textbooks are showing up constantly in the population, but not as inherited traits.
That's right. They're showing up predominantly as localized clone armies inside the blood.
Wow.
Conversely, the variants that the algorithm proved were true germline mutations in this healthy cohort. Variants like PR181 were mostly rare, atypical mutations.
So they weren't the textbook ones.
Right. Previous molecular studies suggest these specific variations only cause a partial loss of function in the P53 protein, rather than total destruction.
Okay.
So these true germline variants seem to have a much lower disease penetrance, meaning they are less likely to actually make the person sick early in life.
So the people walking around with inherited TP53 mutations who actually managed to survive cancer-free into their 50s and 60s tend to have these milder genetic typos.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, the really nasty classic variants that destroy the protein completely are mostly just cropping up in aging blood cells. But that doesn't mean having a mutant clone army in your blood is harmless.
Ooh, not at all. The clinical outcomes the researchers tracked prove how dangerous those clones can be. The team used statistical models to calculate the hazard ratios.
The prospective risk of getting cancer later.
Right, the prospective risk of these individuals developing a new cancer in the years after their blood was drawn. And the cancer risk profiles for these different groups were totally divergent, based entirely on their origin.
Break those hazard ratios down for us, because this is the life or death takeaway for a patient sitting in a clinic.
Yeah, it really is. So looking at the true germline group, the people with the inherited milder variants, Those individuals showed a slightly elevated risk for solid tumors later in life, like brain or prostate cancers.
Okay.
But crucially, they showed zero prospective cases of blood cancer.
Zero.
Zero. However, when you look at the somatic variants, the risk profile explodes in a completely different direction.
Blood cancers.
Yeah. And that 13% inconclusive group we flagged earlier, the people with high VAF mutations that looked germline but had no shared ancestry, they drove a massive disproportionate risk for hematological cancers, meaning blood cancers like leukemia.
How massive of a risk are we talking about?
The high VAF inconclusive group had a staggering 16.5 times higher hazard ratio for developing a blood cancer.
16.5 times higher?
Yes. The biological implication is clear. Many of these inconclusive variants are actually just highly aggressive, massively expanded somatic clones that have almost completely taken over the bone marrow.
Wow.
They are on the precipice of transforming into full-blown leukemia.
The fact that the exact same genetic typo causes an entirely different cancer risk, depending on how you acquired it, whether it's an inherited trait risking a solid tumor or an acquired blood clone risking leukemia, that radically alters the entire landscape of clinical genetic screening.
It really does. A purely VAF-based genetic test is dangerously inadequate for clinical practice.
It's just not enough information.
Right. Consider the clinical implications for a healthy 55-year-old who gets a broad genetic screen. The test flags a high VAF classic TP53 mutation.
Uh-huh.
Without the haplotype sharing analysis to prove ancestry, the doctor assumes the high percentage means it's a germline mutation and diagnoses late-onset Li-Fraumeni syndrome.
And they immediately start sending that patient for intensive whole-body MRI screenings to hunt for bone sarcomas and breast cancers.
Exactly.
But they're looking in the completely wrong place.
Yes. The patient is subjected to massive psychological distress and expensive imaging for solid tumors that likely aren't there, while the medical team completely misses the aggressive, treatment-resistant leukemia risk that is actively threatening the patient from inside their own bone marrow.
That's terrifying.
It is. Leukemias driven by TP53 mutations have notoriously poor survival rates. Misclassifying the origin of the mutation creates a clinical worst-case scenario.
But there's another layer to this study that is just brilliant. By tracking which variants successfully drive these massive clone armies in the blood, the researchers realized something fundamental about human biology, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely.
The ability of a specific mutation to cause massive clonal expansion in the blood correlates incredibly well with how generally pathogenic that mutation is known to be in global clinical databases.
Yeah, the variants that most aggressively outcompete healthy stem cells and take over the bone marrow as somatic clones are the exact same variants that cause the most severe, devastating disease when they are inherited in the germline.
So what does this all mean? We are basically using the aging process of the human blood as a natural in vivo laboratory to tell us which unclassified genetic variants are truly dangerous.
Yes, that's exactly what is happening. There are thousands of rare variants in human genes where scientists just don't know what they do.
Right. They are labeled variants of uncertain significance.
Right. Historically, figuring out if one of these variants is dangerous takes decades of monitoring families to see if a pattern of cancer emerges.
Which takes forever.
But if we can monitor the blood of 500,000 people and we see a specific variant suddenly giving blood stem cells a massive survival advantage, that is nature telling us in real time that this variant is altering cellular function in a highly dangerous way.
It's incredible.
We can predict the danger of a mutation simply by watching the competitive tournament inside the bone marrow.
That is an incredible shortcut for genetic research. But as with every deep dive, we need to talk about the boundaries of the science. Where does this analytical tool set fall short?
Well, there are two main limitations the authors highlight. First, there is a built-in survival bias in the UK Biobank dataset.
Oh, because of the age range.
Right. The biobank recruited people between the ages of 40 and 70.
Right, so anyone who had a truly devastating high penetrance germline Li-Fraumeni mutation.
The grim reality is they likely would have developed severe cancers long before the age of 40.
Yeah.
Many would not have survived to enroll in the study. The beta set naturally filters out the most severe germline cases, which perfectly explains why the true germline variants they did find in this healthy cohort were heavily biased toward those milder mutations that allowed survival into middle age.
That makes a lot of sense. And what about the second limitation?
The second limitation involves post-zygotic mosaicism.
Post-zygotic mosaicism.
Yeah, this is a very complex biological event where a mutation isn't inherited from a parent's sperm or egg, but instead occurs spontaneously just a few days after conception when the embryo is only a handful of dividing cells.
So as the embryo continues to grow, that mutation ends up in some of your body's tissues, but not all of them. It's a patchwork.
Exactly. And the methodology in this study relies entirely on finding ancient shared ancestral haplotypes to prove inheritance.
All right, the paragraph of text.
Yeah, so the algorithm can't definitively separate out a mosaic mutation from a massive somatic blood clone.
Because a mosaic mutation wouldn't share an ancient genetic paragraph with other people in the population, it arose entirely spontaneously in the womb.
Exactly. While mosaicism is expected to be statistically rare, it remains a biological blind spot for this specific mathematical approach.
Even with those limitations in mind, the clarity this brings to the field of genomics is just staggering.
It really is.
We started with a biological mystery. Perfectly healthy people walking around with deadly mutations in their blood. And we've seen how looking at the surrounding genetic text solves the paradox.
Yeah, it completely untangles it.
Classic TP53 mutations detected in the blood of healthy middle-aged adults are largely not inherited ghosts of Life Romani syndrome, but rather acquired localized mutations carrying severe blood cancer risks.
Right.
By combining variant allele fractions with shared genetic ancestry, we can untangle inherited from acquired mutations and completely rewrite how we predict cancer risk in the general population.
The research changes the entire clinical paradigm from simply identifying a mutation's presence to understanding its origin and its evolutionary context. In modern genomics, context is everything.
What does this mean for the millions of people who will undergo routine genetic screening in the next decade? And how will healthcare systems handle the psychological impact of finding a deadly mutation that is actually just a highly specific side effect of aging?
That is the big question going forward.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
Blood draw a little back. Same where my family feared. 469,000 red in the line I thought I had disappeared. Don't read the name, read how much of me it is. Half of every cell is one thing. A rising sliver is another business. Half means home, it came down the line. Less means mine, I grew it on my own time. Half means home, less means mine. Same letters on the page, different signs. Five of them turned up. Only six were passed down. The rest climbed with the birthdays. 2.3 a decade going up, never down. The sixth that ran in blood of kin. Sets off, set partial, set halfway in. The loud ones, the famous ones. Nobody handed me those, I made them. Half means home. Came down the line, less means mine. I grew it on my own time. Half means home, less means mine. Same letters on the page, different sign. Not the bone, not the breast, it's the marrow keeping score. 16 times of blood that old name don't live here anymore. Shared the segment, shared the street, that's how we told them apart. Not the spelling, the inheritance, not the letter, the star. Half means home.